Last week, we heard from the Committee to Protect Journalists about the growing threats to press freedom around the world. According to the International Federation of Journalists, for the fourth time in 5 years, Mexico has had the most number of journalists killed. In 2020, at least 14 journalists had been killed while doing their work. And the Committee to Protect Journalists found that at least 9 of those were killed directly as a result of their work. So this year, an international coalition of news organizations began taking up the unfinished work of many of these journalists in an initiative called the Cartel Project. Among the many critical stories being unearthed, the project has now reported on how the journalist Regina Martinez was killed for her work on the links between organized crime and the Mexican government. Here with me now is Nina Lacani, environmental justice reporter for The Guardian. And Nina has worked in Latin America as an investigative reporter for years. Nina, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Nina, let's start off with the killing of Regina Martinez. What was she investigating before her death?
So Regina Martinez was an investigative reporter in the state of Veracruz, which is the most dangerous state in Mexico to be a journalist. And she had been investigating, you know, in various different aspects, the nexus between organized crime groups, mainly drug trafficking groups, and local powerful politicians. And one of the big investigations that she was almost close to finishing was about the, you know, huge rise in forced disappearances, people who had just simply vanished in the state as organized crime had taken a greater hold. And she had found that a really exponential rise in bodies being thrown into paupers' graves in public cemeteries, and people who, you know, who had been killed with signs, you know, what seemed to be signs of just executions with single or, you know, gunshot wounds. And that that discovery would have exposed these links between organized crime and the state, because you can't disappear people, huge numbers of people, without there being, you know, complicity with state authorities, with police, with prosecutors, with politicians. And that was going to be, you know, that would have been a really explosive investigation had she been able to publish that. And she was also investigating, you know, missing millions, you know, a huge rise in public debt, public contracts being awarded to, you know, the cronies and friends of senior officials. So she was, you know, she was investigating a number of things that she had for many years, but they were two of the sort of key investigations that she was working on when she was murdered in 2012.
Did Regina's death mark the beginning of, or at least a change in the increased wave of violence in Mexico against journalists?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, journalists had been killed in Mexico before, but she was the most prominent journalist to be killed. You know, she was a national reporter for a really prominent investigative news weekly called Proceso. And really what we saw after her murder was just a really significant increase in journalists being killed, mainly regional and local, but also some national journalists across the country, with the state of Veracruz, where she was from and where she worked, becoming the most dangerous place on the planet to be a journalist. So it really did. And I think it just showed us, you know, as journalists, as our Mexican colleagues for sure, is that if they can kill someone as well known and prominent as Regina and get away with it, all of us are vulnerable. And that's exactly how it played out.
Why is it so dangerous to report on organized crime in Mexico? Is it because of what you mentioned, the government being complicit in these killings, or is it cartels that are just sort of out of control? Like, what is it that makes Mexico one of the worst, if not the worst place for journalists right now?
What we know for sure is that the journalists most likely to be targeted are those investigating the links between organized crime and state officials. It isn't those who are just investigating organized crime per se. It is specifically those who are investigating the role played by state forces, security forces, politicians, mayors, the army, the navy. It is those specifically those who are targeted. And why do they continue to be killed? Because there is almost impunity is almost guaranteed. The Committee to Protect Journalists say that around 90% of crimes against journalists go unsolved. I would say it's even greater than that. If you look at how many and people who masterminded those crimes, who ordered, who paid for, who benefited from the silencing journalists, almost none have ever been brought to justice, right? So that, you know, it's a combination of getting at these sort of links between state structures, state complicity, individuals in power, and the lack and the lack of justice. Again, you know, impunity means that there is state complicity, right? Because these crimes are not properly investigated, they're not prosecuted. And in the case of Regina Martinez, one man was jailed, but we're absolutely sure he was not, he had nothing to do with it. He was a scapegoat, you know, while those who ordered and benefited from her crime have never faced justice.
Nina, you've also reported on the question of weapons entering Mexico, which are used by organized crime, members of organized crime. Where are those weapons coming from?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the primary source is still the U.S., you know, coming over the border in the southern border of the U.S. into Mexico. But as part of the cartel project, we really dug deeply into the sale, the legal sale of arms from Europe and from Israel into Mexico and where these weapons end up. You know, so one thing to say, that we can say is that the vast majority of journalists who have been killed in Mexico in the last 15 or 20 years have been killed with a weapon from a foreign country, right? And our investigation really got into sort of this exponential rise in arms sales, in weapon sales, to the Mexican military, who sort of controls the sort of arms trade, really, and how these guns and these weapons are then sold on to local police forces, and how that they often do end up in the hands of organized crime groups.
In 2021, Nina, what is the expectation for journalists in Mexico right now? I mean, is it going to change? Is President Andrés Manuel López Obrador going to take any action, given that this project has now taken off and is really exposing the precarity of being a journalist in Mexico?
Well, the current president, like his predecessors, have known for a long time that being a journalist is dangerous business in Mexico. You know, they can't say that they haven't known and they don't know, because it's unfolded in front of their eyes. You know, it's almost a journalist a month or more that's killed in Mexico. I mean, it's just a huge, you know, the impact on democracy and on citizens and truth telling and information has been so significant for so many years. We have, you know, while the current president, López Obrador, said that he would look into see whether the case of Regina Martinez, for example, could be reopened, that is just not good enough. You know, there is, you know, we have seen no significant statements or steps or actions, most importantly, to suggest that this widespread systematic impunity for those who perpetrate violence and attacks against journalists is going to be tackled. We just haven't seen any evidence that that's going to change.
Nina Lacani is the environmental justice reporter for The Guardian, who's reported from Latin America for years. Nina, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.